Digital technology is changing the way we teach and the way kids learn, and teachers are setting aside time to unplug their classrooms. Welcome to Teacher Talk. I'm Lori Walsh. This is where you find conversations between two teachers and a journalist about today's top education topics. Here's what we're exploring today. Scientists are studying the way handwriting activates different regions of the brain than typing. A 2025 study from the National Institutes of Health reports that while typing has the advantage of speed and convenience, handwriting remains an important tool for learning and memory retention. So let's head to the classroom and talk about unplugging. Jackie Wilbur is a faculty member and director of the Center for Student and Professional Services at the University of South Dakota. Gina Benz has taught for more than 25 years. She's a recipient of the Milken Educator Award. Welcome back, my friends. Jackie Wilbur joining us from Vermilion on Zoom today. Hi.
Hi. It's great to be here.
And Gina Benz here in the Sioux Falls SDPB Studios.
We are back.
Welcome back. It's been a minute.
We've had a hiatus.
We have regrouped and you have unplugged.
I am perpetually unplugging and unplugging and unplugging. I think my principal was really surprised when he said, "What are some of your goals?" And I said, one of my main goals is to do less. And he just raised his eyebrows.
But so countercultural. I love it.
But Jackie, you know me. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. I probably should be doing less. So
you should. Yes.
Did it take courage to say that?
You know, I'm going to say no. And you hear a lot of women my age, people with my amount of experience say, no, I just tell the truth. I tell it like it is now.
Yeah. So you wanted to write about unplugged teaching.
I did, because I took a course on AI in the classroom from Auburn University. And during that course, in a discussion post or like a forum, one of the professors talked about having a course that was totally unplugged. And it piqued my interest. You know, ironic that that's where I found out about it. And maybe not ironic, because when you unplug, you don't have to worry about students using AI when they shouldn't. But I started to play with the idea. And then this summer when I had a grad course I was teaching, I made it unplugged. And every time we met for 3 hours once a week for, 3 hours at one time. And we had discussions. We talked about the book. We all shared. We learned from each other. It was very student-centered, because mm-hmm. the discussion, although I had certain plans for the discussion and things I wanted to make sure we hit upon, it also went where the kids, the grad students, mm-hmm. needed to go in their learning.
So there is a sense, did you get any pushback that people were worried they were not gaining the skills? Because here's what I'm wondering, mm-hmm. this idea of like AI in teaching, now is the time to lean in and learn mm-hmm. everything about it and leverage it and then figure out how to use it ethically. And I'm going to spend 3 hours a week not doing any of that. What am I going to get in return for that unplugged time?
Well, let me first say this. The course I was teaching is called Human Relations. So it was pretty appropriate to be unplugged and relate to each other as humans. Yeah. And in my technology and education course, of course, we talk about AI. And in my school district, there has been a lot of time devoted to helping teachers learn how to leverage it so that they can take care of tedious, mindless tasks through AI and spend more time on the things that teachers are experts at, which is giving good feedback, creating a really good lesson, tailoring it to the exact students that are in front of them at that moment. So AI can maybe make a quick rubric for you or change a text to be at a different reading level for you. For me recently, it made a chart that I needed to have made. So, but to go back to it, I think that it's okay to have some unplugged situations, because then there's balance. And in some classrooms, they are certainly getting a lot of experience with technology. And in some classes, they're coming back to themselves without the technology.
And what unplugged means, no No devices for note-taking, no devices for research, no devices for writing?
Well, first of all, I am not 100% unplugged.
Okay.
So when we do writing, they do write on paper first, and I collect that paper. But I then give class time for them to type up what they wrote and polish it in the typing process. But the two should be similar, what was on paper and what gets typed up. So there is that typed aspect because I need to save my eyes. Handwriting is horrible. Very few students have good handwriting.
All right, we're going to get to that in a minute, but I want to bring Jackie Wilbur into the conversation because this whole concept of unplugged teaching, what does it bring up for you?
Oh, my mind is going in a million different directions. The first time I actually came across the term unplugged, like the word itself, not that I never heard the word at all, but kind of used in this context, was actually as when I was training and working in yoga. And so there's actually an Los Angeles studio called Unplugged. And the idea of unplugging is very much in vogue and has been for a while amongst people who are meditators and yoga practitioners, the idea of taking a break. There's also a lot of research, a lot of neuroscience brain research that says any form of silence, noise quieting down, pausing, of which phones and all electronics, all technology has like a lot of noise. There's just a lot of stimulation and a lot of input that you get from those devices. Anytime you take a break from that and kind of do a reset, it is very beneficial. My brain's going in a lot of different directions. I probably will need to unplug myself after our conversation today.
The research is bearing out, though, Gina, that handwriting as well is doing what for our kids? And therefore, the loss of handwriting something could be impacting us in what ways?
Yeah, this study is what inspired me to create this blog post and now this conversation. So the National Institutes of Health website shows the study, and the study says that handwriting but not typing leads to widespread brain connectivity, a high-density EEG study with implications for the classroom. And there's more explanation, but I thought that quote summed it up really well, that the brain lights up more when people are handwriting than when they're typing.
But they can't do it. Or it's messy, or it's like, what are you finding when you ask all your students to write?
Well, it's not about the handwriting itself can be as messy as you want it to be.
Yeah.
I would guess that doesn't affect what's happening in the brain.
Right. But if you want to provide feedback, you have to be able to read it.
Yes.
I guess my point is we haven't been teaching handwriting for quite some time.
You're right.
Yeah. In the way that we used to teach
In the way we used to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's why I still like to have my students, the initial ideas, the initial development of their ideas goes on paper and is handwritten. Typing it up is pretty quick after that.
Yeah.
And that's just, for me, that's for saving my eyes. But for them, it's that moment of polishing and producing a polished product.
Sure. Jackie, what do you know about handwriting versus typing, you know, in note-taking and getting down ideas in first drafts?
Everything that Gina said is true, and there's more than one study that will back that up, there's more involved with your brain when you have to put pen to paper than it is when you type. There's more the automation of technology, how quickly it moves. It doesn't require you to engage as much. And so from a creativity standpoint, from a thinking standpoint, from a going a little bit slower standpoint, handwriting is helpful. And so I really like Gina's mix of what she's doing there of saying, when we're in this creative stage, when we're in the idea phase, we're going to write it out. And then you can always pivot to using technology. I mean, technology can do all, I was going to make that suggestion, Gina, if you wanted them to just turn in their handwriting, you could just have AI translate it. You could upload it there and then it would type it up for you, you know?
Oh my gosh, you're so right.
So options exist, but.
Wow, it's true.
Yes.
So these.
But I just think that's lovely that you're having your students slow down and write. I really do.
And I think it's important that they do the polishing too.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So when we think about unplugging, there are layers to this. One can be just being in the physical classroom without the distractions of the device. The other thing can be the cognitive benefit of struggling with something or slowing down to do the writing because something is happening there. But it can also be just you're stepping outside something right now. You're stepping outside the river of, you know, very fast-moving culture.
That's right, because when they're on their Chromebooks typing things up, trying to complete assignments, there's so many distractions. Yeah. You can jump to this tab, that tab, notifications, whatnot. So,
right. It's not a typewriter. It's a whole device, you know.
I just read an article in the New York Times about a man who left his job to go become a typewriter repairman and take over a business for a 90-year-old gentleman who was like had a business to, you know, repair typewriters. And the line that stuck out to me was this idea that young people wanted typewriters because they didn't, it was not nostalgia. It was not going back to thinking of a time when they were using the typewriter because they had never used it. They were appreciating it as a technology in and of itself that was unplugged from all those other things and was satisfying and provided a little resistance to the work they were doing. It kept their minds engaged. They were interested in the task, which I found the whole thing would be fascinating. So it's not just going backwards to an idea of when we were kids, we hand wrote things. It's young people going forward to saying, this is a technology that helps me get to the desired end.
Yeah, that's so true. I see my own high school students recognizing what technology they need to remove from their lives and what needs to stay. They're thinking these things.
Yeah.
Not all of them.
Right.
But there's a lot of young people who are stepping away from some technology.
Yeah. What about the teaching devices in a classroom, Jackie? The smart boards, the AI in the classroom that you're using to navigate a lesson together. I mean, Gina in her piece talks about, you know, yeah, we did have to watch a video. So that's not technically unplugged, but here's how we did it in an unplugged way. Mm-hmm. Delivering a lesson plan with and without technology, what are some of the things to be thinking about there?
Well, I personally have always found a good mixture of a lot of different kinds of things is going to be what you're teaching to the masses, right? Especially in public school. So I really shy away from anything that's all or nothing. So to say, oh, my classroom is entirely unplugged. I don't use any technology at all. You're probably going to be then excluding students who need technologies from a special education standpoint, assistive technologies that help them with various learning disabilities and various needs that they have. Additionally, there are technologies that are incredibly helpful that I think our students need to learn, and there's standards for technology that need to be part of their curriculum. And then to have a classroom that's all technology all the time is going to have the consequences of having students potentially be quite distracted. All of the research that we've read about how it can potentially be impacting their mental health or other concentration levels, things of that nature. So for me, I always think a little bit of a lot of different things has always been my teaching methodology, and it's going to be what helps most people. So in any lesson, I think to say, okay, we're going to sit and do this activity for a little bit. We're going to talk to each other for a little bit. We're going to move around the room a little bit. We're going to be in technology for a little bit. Keeps the pacing moving, and then students will get access to the various things that they like. So that's my advice, is to say, I would shy away from an all or nothing philosophy. I don't think it's helpful necessarily in any classroom.
Gina, you would add to that?
I would only add my stamp of approval. She's exactly right. She's exactly right. You decide what is most important for the students, and you mix it up. You mix it up.
Yeah. How do you address students with disability who need the technology assistance to also respectfully say what is too much technology for them?
Absolutely. There's not one answer for that. It depends on the student's need. You know, sometimes you can provide a different sort of support than what the technology provided, something that's an equivalent. You can allow the student to do the work in a different space than the classroom and then utilize the technology. Or, you know, my students, because of the way special education is, my students know their classmates And they know what everybody's different needs are. They've seen diversity when it comes to ability since they were in kindergarten. So when a student puts headphones on and listens to something, they don't bat an eye. They're like, yeah, there's a reason. Mm-hmm. That's what inclusion has done.
I think this is happening on all levels in all kinds of different conversations. And Lori, I feel like this is one of the themes of our show that keeps coming back over and over again, is that I do think so many people had experiences of education where they intuitively were like, you know, what would work best for me and my learning is X, right? Mm-hmm. Like coming back to how you liked to outline after you did your writing, you know, you knew for yourself that was a methodology that worked well for you. Mm-hmm. And now I think that, at least this was my experience of being a teacher and in talking to lots of other folks, I think many people do their teaching in this way, where we're trying to cultivate that in students to say, okay, if listening to something on the audiobook as opposed to reading it or pairing the audio with the written words works best for you, do that. Because we want you to learn this material. We want you to learn it in the way that is easiest for you to digest. Have you tried X, Y, or Z and have them try some things out? But it really is this process of helping every student know themselves better so that they can succeed and excel, rather than saying, do it this way because that's how you do it and that's the right way. I don't think education functions in that way very much anymore. I think we're all really trying to help everyone individually find their best way through. And that's because society has demanded that. No teacher now can say, we're all doing it this way. We're all reading the exact same book at the exact same time on the exact same page. You're going to talk to that person's parent about how that's not happening for their child in that classroom. Society doesn't, people have requests on our educators now that they individualize things and customize things for their student. And I think that's good. I would say to those of you who have children who are listening, if there are things like that that you think would be helpful to your children, your teacher would definitely talk to you about that. I know that Gina listens to, and I listen to, and so many of the good educators I know are willing to have those conversations with parents and guardians about the ways that their children learn best.
Final thoughts, Gina?
I want to give snaps to Jackie. That was good.
You're so kind to me.
She's just so right. We are trying to meet every student where they are.
Yeah.
We really are. We're really working hard to do that. And sometimes a little communication helps us to do that even better.
Well said. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Jackie Wilbur and Gina Benz are the educators behind SDPB's Teacher Talk. You can find their blog posts, which have links to all their research, over at our website, sdpb.org/teachertalk. You can also subscribe to the Teacher Talk podcast on your preferred podcast platform. Give us a follow, a like, a comment, a suggestion. Share our Teacher Talk podcast with your child's teacher or with your BFAW. That's your best friend at work. That is our conversation today. From all of us at SDPB, we thank you for listening.